Create.
And welcome back to the Create podcast. My name is Connie Bizalski, and today I'm also recording a video for this episode. So if you're listening to this, then you can also hop on over to YouTube. And hello, YouTube. You can also listen to this on your podcast app. On this show, we talk about all things creativity, mindfulness, and self-exploration for creators, writers, and creative entrepreneurs. And I'm super happy to be here with you today. I'm just coming off running a one-week workshop program. It was called The Inside Out, and it was all about mindfulness and emotional intelligence. And I ran a three-hour workshop on Monday all around these topics. It was super deep, very comprehensive. And then we met every single day, Tuesday until yesterday, Sunday. We met up for a meditation. So first I would kind of give a little talk, kind of guide into the meditation part. Then I would guide the meditation. It was a different one every day. And then at the end we would have a sharing circle. And man, it was so awesome. It was so beautiful. I learned so much from running this program this past week in terms of, I think I'm going to record an extra episode just about my learnings from this workshop and how I sort of planned and designed and then actually ran the workshop. I think that could be quite interesting, like the whole creative process behind that. And I learned a ton. It was definitely a big experiment. And I have more and more ideas now as to how I want to proceed and how I want to move forward with my offerings. And because there is something to be said about, you know, meeting up with people online. We were 17 people. But they're from all over the world. Some couldn't make it live, but they would watch the replays. And so it was at least 10, 11, 12, 13 people every day. And just getting to know each other on that level and having these beautiful meditative experiences together and these sharings and learning together. And it was so beautiful. My heart is so full right now. And we'll see what's going to happen moving forward. I have too many ideas, actually. I also have another idea for a writing class, I guess you could call it. It's something that I've been toying with for a while because if there's two things that I've been doing very consistently for the last almost 10 years, it's meditation. So I just taught that for a week and writing. And I've, just wrote a book with a publisher. I self-published a book a few years ago, which has been selling really well. And I've been blogging and writing articles and all these things for so many years. And I studied journalism. So if there's one thing I know inside and out, it is writing alongside meditation. And so, yeah, my brain is just can't stop having ideas. And 2020, I feel like, just properly got started. And this workshop week really put me into a whole new sort of energy sphere, I want to say, because it's been about, almost a year since the last time that I ran like a live workshop or live sessions. I used to do a lot more like live streaming stuff, even like on Facebook and Instagram. And I want to bring that back more on a regular basis. But for now, I'm flying out to Vancouver on Thursday. Today's Monday. And then I'm doing the first part of my breathwork practitioner training for conscious connected breathing, which I'm super excited about. And then I'll probably be going to Mexico. That's kind of the idea right now. And so I have a bit of time to integrate this past week, this workshop week that I just finished up, and also to let all these ideas that I have sort of incubate and marinate a little bit And usually when I do a lot of breath work, I get a whole lot of amazing downloads and insights. And so stay tuned. All right. In any case, today we are doing a Q&A session, meaning I asked you guys on Instagram, well, those of you that follow me on Instagram, if you could have a cup of coffee with me somewhere around the world, what sort of question would you ask me? And I got quite a lot of responses and, well, I'm not sure we'll get through all of them. I mean, I chose the best ones, so I have a selection here on my laptop in front of me right now. But I want to keep this to about 30 minutes today, and we'll see how we go with that. But I've got some really good questions. I think you're going to like it a lot. And I think it's the first Q&A round. So this is going to be interesting. They're in no particular order. And also, I didn't really prepare. Like, I just kind of copied them all into one file. But I didn't, like, write out any answers. So I'm going to be answering them as I go along, very intuitively and spontaneously. I think that's the best way to do these Q&As. So let's get started. Question number one is, people fight so hard to be more and more happy. Why? I find that a pretty good question to start this off with. And I have two things to say about that. Number one is, don't worry so much about what other people do and say and think. The best thing I can advise you is to just focus on yourself and not worry about anybody else. It's wasted energy and it shouldn't be of your concern. Just focus on yourself. That's all that matters. And that has been one learning that has definitely been very beneficial for my own inner peace. And in the end, you know, I don't really care what other people do. all I can control, and that's me. And that's how I live my life and the things that I do. And I try to live a life that's conscious. And I try to live my days in a way that is intentional and aware. And I try to pass that on and inspire others. And that's what I think matters the most. And then the second thing I have to say about that is, because I do have some sort of explanation for that. Because if you think about it, you know, we're conditioned in a way that we are constantly looking to find happiness outside of ourselves, right? We're always looking to externally fill this void internally, thinking that if we find happiness on the outside, let it be through a lot of money or, you know, getting married and having family and buying a lot of stuff or whatever it is, that would make us whole and complete. And so, you know, in our very consumerist society, that's what's happening. And a lot of people buy into that. And then, of course, over the years, a lot of people have come to realize that, well, that's not the answer. We can't find happiness outside of ourselves. We can't find happiness by traveling the world and building passive income businesses. The only way to really find happiness is within. And even if that sounds like a cliche, which, you know, cliches have their truth in themselves. But there more and more people have come to wake up from that and had their awakening, and I had mine, you know, over the years as well. And so what happens is, or what's been happening is that this whole, you know, spirituality, mindfulness, personal development sphere has just exploded, because now people realize, oh, wow, okay, so I have to find happiness inside, and there's other ways to find happiness. And so what happens is that we now are on this quest through a lot of this inner work and all these, you know, books, the self-help books and all these workshops and retreats and, you know, all that stuff, that is the path to happiness. And I used to definitely kind of... I don't want to say it. I just kind of went really wild on that path as well. And I'm still really interested in personal development, and I still read a lot of self-help books for sure, just because I love learning of how my mind works and how my psyche works and you know, our nervous system and how our body works for sure. But also more and more realizing that that we can also get really addicted to this search for happiness through self-help and personal development and spirituality. So yeah, all this is to say that there is not one path. You know, I think there's a lot of people out there who think they have found the path. I just don't believe in that. I believe that it's like we're all puzzle projects, and we all have to figure out which puzzle pieces work for us and find all these different keys that would unlock that door to our inner happiness. And I don't even care about happiness. I care about fulfillment, right? I care about joy. I think those are way more sustainable, lasting emotions and emotional states than happiness. Happiness is so temporary and fleeting. Oop, there I was, happy for like 2 minutes. And then, you know, so I'm striving for fulfillment and for joy and inner peace. And we all have different ways on how to get there. And what works for me doesn't necessarily work for you. And what works for Mike and, you know, Andrea doesn't work for Sophie and Philip. So there is not this one way. One thing that I've come to understand that definitely helps is mindfulness and meditation, because it brings us closer to ourselves and it helps us to increase our self-awareness and raise our consciousness. And I believe those are qualities that are important no matter what. And that's what I got to say about that question. That was a long answer to a very short question. All right. Question number two is, tell me about the best day of your life and the worst. Well, this is a really tough one, because I don't think there is such a thing for me as the best day of my life and the worst day of my life. I've had so many amazing days, and I've had quite a lot of really, really shitty and painful days, and a lot of dark nights of the soul. And so it's hard for me to choose, you know, the best day. It was probably a day where I was with someone that I loved, or with a group of friends, and I was in an inner state of just joy and inner peace, you know. And the second thing is, my worst day probably had to do with some sort of heartbreak situation. You know, a breakup. I've gone through quite a few very devastating breakups over the years, and I've also gone through quite a bit of depression. So, you know, it's hard to just pick one. So let's leave it at that. And question number three, when did you know that you were queer? And would it help if schools taught about it early? So I realized that I was maybe not heterosexual. So the story goes like this. I had a late coming out, somewhat late, I guess, at 26. I'm celebrating my 10-year coming out anniversary this year in 2020. Highly exciting. So I had my coming out in February of 2010, when I started dating my first girlfriend, who I was with then for about 2.5 years. However, I was pretty aware that I was pretty gay and pretty queer before that, but I was too ashamed to accept that within myself, and way more ashamed to actually share it with the world. And looking back, I always fancied women, you know, ever since I was a young teenager, really. I probably had the first crush on a friend of mine when I was 13, probably. And then over and over and over again until I finally, you know, fell in love with this woman who was also queer and who reciprocated. So So that's what happened. And looking back, it was always clear. However, there was a lot of internalized homophobia, I guess you could call it, and just a lot of shame. I tried everything to not be gay. I dated a lot of men and tried everything. And it was very liberating when I started dating my first girlfriend, when I finally came out and told the world and my parents and my family that I was queer and that I loved women. And most of the feedback was great. But it was also a bit of a grieving process to realize that, okay, this is actually my reality now. Now I know that I'm not going to be, probably not going to be with a man and building a family with a man. And so, you know, because that was definitely an idea that I had for myself. I just always thought, oh, I still need to meet the right man. And but I have, I made videos on my YouTube channel with a lot more detail around my coming out. And because it was quite painful those years, you know, of being in the closet, of being ashamed of my own sexuality that I just did not want to own and accept. And, you know, looking back, there is a lot of compassion that I have for that younger self, you know, for my younger self that just couldn't express how she felt. And I had to hide a lot of feelings that I had for women throughout all these years. And of course that, you know, there is a toll that we have to pay for that. And there's a part of me that's still dealing with those repercussions from, you know, I guess 14 years or 13 years of being in the closet, basically. Would it help if schools taught about it earlier? I mean, I don't know, to be honest. I grew up in a small town in Germany and I just never really had friends that were gay or lesbian, you know, or even bisexual. It just wasn't the thing in the 80s and 90s. And so if maybe it would have been, you know, nice, but I don't know. I mean, the thing is that we need more people to be queer and out, but there, I guess, just aren't enough in the world for it to be just a completely normal thing. And I mean, it, of course, it is becoming more and more of a accepted way to be in mainstream society, and also not, because there's still a lot of work that has to be done around the world. There's still countries where people are sentenced to death if, you know, they are gay. And that's just, yeah, one way to say that we might think that we've come a long way, which we have, absolutely. And there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. And I'm very passionate about the idea of de-shaming identities, you know, let it be sexual identities or anything else, because it's painful to be someone that you're not. And so having said that, I hope to inspire anyone, and if there's younger people listening then or watching then, you know, and getting any sort of inspiration out of my story, which is a reason why I've made videos about my coming out on YouTube, then that makes me really happy. Because, yeah, I guess if there's one thing that I would like to tell my younger self, it would be just come out and tell the world that you love women. It's totally cool. You're loved, you're worthy as a lesbian woman, you're amazing. And yeah, so, you know, the lessons we need to learn in life, some of them are painful, and that's okay, because it's just part of my journey. And yeah. Now, next question. Some deep stuff already here. Which awareness brought an important shift in behavior and perception to support you more? Interesting question. Which awareness? Or like which insight, I'm guessing? Or, well, I mean, my whole, I guess, consciousness journey started in 2012 when I went through this breakup from my first girlfriend. And I then discovered Buddhism. And Buddhism for me was just like, wow, now I get to understand life. And the first thing that I understood from Buddhist teachings was that life contains suffering. And that's just how it is. Not that I don't believe in the saying life is suffering, but that suffering is part of life. And that in itself just helped me to calm down and find a little bit more peace, because it meant that I'm okay. Like, me experiencing this excruciating emotional pain right now, that's okay. And it's normal. It's part of the human experience. So that was the first big one. The second one was reading Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, and understanding that I am not my thoughts. That was something that I learned at 28 or something, 27. That was a completely new concept for me, because up until that point, I had completely 100% identified with my thoughts. And I used to be very much in my head all the time, very much an overthinker, very much OCD thinking, very anxious in my mind. And to have that insight, that changed everything, really. And of course, it's something that I have to keep reminding myself, because it's just too easy to believe our own thoughts and take them at face value. But that was huge. And then, well, and of course, meditation, you know, as I dove deeper into Buddhism and all of that, and the whole personal development sphere. And then another huge teaching, I think that must have come to me through one of Tony Robbins' events that I attended, maybe 2014, 2015, was that life doesn't happen to me, it happens for me. Because what that did to me was it helped me to disconnect from that inner victim, you know? Because if we always think that life happens to me, then I'm victimizing myself. Then it's kind of like, well, I just can't control anything. I'm giving away my power, and I'm the victim of life and my circumstances and people around me and all that. But when you realize that whatever happens to you, any challenge, any struggle, anything that is thrown in your path on your journey through life, let it be relationship, you know, issues, let it be depression, let it be health issues, whatever it is, if we can look at it from a perspective of, this is happening for me because I get to learn from this, I get to grow from this, then we're empowered, we're in charge, we are back in the driver's seat. And it took a couple of years for this teaching to fully settle into myself on like a cellular level. But once it did, yeah, now it lives there. And it's an awareness, it's a consciousness that I'm really happy to have as I move through life, because challenges, well, that is part of life. And having this outlook on life and all the things that just that we struggle with makes everything just so much easier to deal with. And I don't want to be a victim. Like, nah. I'm Connie, and I'm creating my life. And I truly believe that. That we're responsible for what happens in our lives, and that we are full on creating our lives. It's not, I don't believe in fate or in luck or in just coincidence, like that sort of stuff. Like, nah, there is a reason why stuff happens. And I always like to find out why. And that brings me fulfillment and inner peace. And so, yeah, that's that. All right, let's see. We still have a few more minutes. Sure, I can maybe do one or two more answers. So next question is, what is the purpose of life? You people, my friends, you really like to ask the nice and deep questions, which I really appreciate, because I love to ask profound and deep questions myself. So I guess you guys are just reflecting that back to me, which is awesome. So what is the purpose of life? Well, I've found out over the years, because it's something that a question that I've been wanting to answer and find answers to for a long time. And, you know, maybe if you've gone through depression and you've found yourself in a place in your life where nothing makes sense, where you doubt everything, then that question will eventually come up. Why am I here? What is the purpose of all of this? And I've searched all over the world and in all sorts of books and teachings and, you know, in my life for answers. And I've come to understand for myself that, number one, the purpose of life is to grow as a human being and in all other ways that you can grow. In my case, it's to grow as a human being, to grow as an entrepreneur, as a creator, a creative, to grow as a lover, a partner, to grow as a daughter, like as a yogi, as a meditator. Like, there's so many ways that we can grow and learn and evolve and expand ourselves and our consciousness. And so that's really awesome and beautiful. And I think that that is a big part of why we're here on this planet. And then the second thing is that we're also here to explore our gifts and to contribute our gifts to the world and to other people's lives. So that's kind of what drives my work. It's what drives everything I do. Is, of course, I love creating, and right now I love recording this. I love what I do, and I will always try my very best to really only do the things that I love doing, because that's, for me, the best way to grow and evolve, and for me, the best way to contribute my gifts, my energies to the world, and to do my best to leave this world maybe a tiny bit better than how I found it. And if I can help other people with, you know, the lessons that I've learned and with any of my creations, then I feel like I'm doing my job as a human being. And the other thing is, though, that, you know, you look at all that and that's great. So we're here to grow, to learn, to evolve, and we're here to contribute and to help and provide value. But overall, I think that the purpose of life is actually very simple. It's to have a good time. It's to have fun and to experience joy. Because when we're in those states, that's when we are, that's when we can truly serve others from that place. I don't think, I mean, yes, suffering is part of life, you know, as I shared, you know, from what I've learned from Buddhist teachings. And I also think that we're here to overcome the suffering and to find ways to find back to joy, because I think that that is an inherent human quality, and that from that energetic frequency, we can truly help other people and serve other people. And so I think in the end, it's actually a very simple answer. I think the purpose of life is to have a good time. And I know that there's probably many arguments against that you can come up with. And then I'm like, well, you know, we all have to figure out our own explanation to this question. And whatever works for you, awesome. And with that, I think I'm going to conclude this first round of Q&A. We're almost at 30 minutes. Woohoo. I still have a lot of questions, so I'll try and answer those in future episodes. And other than that, it's been a joy. It's fun doing this. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And talk to you soon.